School is back in session and Labor Day is right around the corner. The Bible says the hands of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Also, God gives us the power to get well to establish His covenant. This Labor Day, reflect on the blessings we have in this country to be able to work hard and receive a reward for doing so. And if you're still in the workforce, thank God for the ability and opportunity to work.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Tuesday, August 23rd will be the primary election. For those of us here today, we know that we're looking forward to that election. For those that will be listening on the radio, the election will already be passed. But we are going to today pray, have an Election Day prayer sermon entitled an Election Day Prayer, Lord, Raise Up Righteous Civil Magistrates to Deliver Us. And we're going to look at the Bible and see what the Bible has to say. And this, even though when this airs, it will air after the election, this information is still pertinent. And of course, we actually, the election will not be final in some cases until November. Although, hopefully, you have already voted or will vote on Election Day. And hopefully, you're registered to vote and you've been studying to see what God says about government and actually also studying to see where the candidates stand on the issues. I do want to encourage you to watch, if you haven't watched or listened to our sermon series, Applying Biblical Principles to Government, I want to encourage you to do that. And I want to encourage you to watch these sermons. And I want to encourage you to listen to what the Bible has to say about applying biblical principles to government. Also, to study where the candidates stand on the issues. But let us turn right now, our attention right now, to prayer to God, that God's will would be done, that God would have His way, and that God would certainly raise up deliverers, righteous people, to rule in places of authority. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And this doesn't just mean that righteous people should be in authority. What this means is that the nation, if the nation is righteous, that righteousness will exalt that nation. And if the nation is practicing sin, that sin will be a reproach to that nation. So we as a people, as individuals, as families, we as a part of the church, we as a part of this nation need to turn back to God. We need to realize that we have violated His commandments. We have forsaken His precepts. In fact, many Christians, most Christians, the absolute majority of Christians do not even have a biblical worldview, are actually influenced more by TV or the news or the newspapers or what a celebrity says or what your friends say than on the Bible. We need to actually look at the Bible to see what the Bible has to say about this issue. And one of the things that we need to do is, again, make sure that we are righteous, that we are holy, that we are upright before God. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 12, we read, when the righteous rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. So when the righteous rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. We need to really pray this morning and over the next few days, that God would allow the righteous to rejoice and would not allow the wicked to arise. In Proverbs 29, verse 2, we read, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan." And we are still in a situation where we need to actually turn back to God. And we need to make sure, if you haven't been registered to vote, if you haven't studied what the Bible has to say, if you haven't studied where the candidates stand on these issues, if you aren't voting according to biblical values, if you aren't voting at all, you need to repent, because we have the authority to actually elect the righteous in our country to rule over us. And we need to actually do so. And we actually look at the Bible in Psalm 33, verses 19 through, or 12 through 19. We read this: "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." So we see that even though it is proper for kings to work to defend the nation, even though it is proper for nations to have armies to defend that nation, really ultimately our help comes from God. God is our defense. He is what our trust should be. He is what our hope should be in him. And we should actually hope in his mercy and work to and allow him and ask him to deliver us from our souls from death and to keep us alive in famine and to defend our nation against peril. And how does this happen? It happens when we as a nation bless God. Singing "God Bless America" is a good thing to do. But we really, if we want God to bless us, we need to bless him. We need to honor him. We need to put him first. The Bible tells us that we are to pray for those in authority over us, even if they're not the candidate that we voted for. Even if you didn't vote at all, you still repent of that sin, because that is a sin. If we know that God wants the righteous to be in authority, and we have a responsibility and the ability to actually put them in authority, and we don't do that, or we have no clue what God says about government because we don't read the Bible, we don't have a biblical worldview, if we aren't studying where the candidates stand on the issues, then we need to repent of that sin. But we are to pray for those who are in authority over us, even if we didn't vote for them. You know, there were people that voted for President Trump in 2016 that and they should pray for them. But there were people also that voted for Hillary Clinton that should also have prayed for Trump. And today we have President Biden, and there are people that voted for him, and there are people that voted for Trump, but we need to pray for President Biden. We need to pray for those who are in authority. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence." So we need to pray for those who are in authority, and we need to cry out to God and ask God to give them wisdom, ask God to help them to rule according to biblical precepts and biblical standards, and ask God to help them to repent of their sins. You know, For President Biden, we need to pray for his mental capacity, because sometimes he doesn't seem to have it. And sometimes he seems to be very with it, and other times he seems to be totally lost, not even able to complete a sentence. And so we really need to pray for him that God would restore his mind as well. From an election, I'm going to read a quote from Matthias Burnett, pastor of First Baptist Church in Norwalk, from an election sermon preached at Hartford on the day of the anniversary election, March 12th, 1803. By the way, it was common at the founding of this country, and even before that, when they had election, it was common for pastors on election day to actually preach a sermon, an election sermon. And this sermon would often go on for up to 3 hours. And so the church would gather, and the pastor would charge the people to show them what the Bible says about the issues, and really charge the people to vote according to biblical principles. And Matthias Burnett, pastor of First Baptist Church, said this: "Consider well the important trust which God has put into your hands. To God and posterity, you are accountable for your rights and your rulers. Let not your children have reason to curse you for giving up those rights and prostrating those institutions which your fathers delivered to you." So we have a great responsibility. It is to God, it is to our nation, and it is to our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren that we have this responsibility to vote for those who are in authority. But we realize that we are supposed to do our part and play our role, but we need to realize that we have a responsibility, and we need to do what we need to do, but we also need to realize that God is sovereign. God is sovereign in elections. Chapter 2, verse 21, we read this: "And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." So God is the one that removes kings. He's capable of removing kings. He's capable of raising up kings. And God is the one that is sovereign in our nation. We also see in Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, "This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men." And you see here, what he's talking about is a prophecy that was given to King Nebuchadnezzar, who at the time was the most powerful man in the world. He was the king over the empire that ruled the world at that time, and God showed him that he was sovereign, and that he sets kings up and sets one king up and removes another king. And we also see later in that passage, later in that chapter, verses 29 through 36, at the end of 12 months, this is King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" So Nebuchadnezzar here wasn't honoring God. He wasn't looking at what God had done. He wasn't giving the glory to God. He was taking the glory to himself. And God had shown him and was showing him and would show him that it was God that had raised him up and not his own power and his own might and his majesty. And in verse 31, while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it has been spoken. It is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of men and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. And so you see this really dramatic passage of the ruler of the world, the ruler of the greatest empire at that time that was ruling really a very large majority of the world at that time, King Nebuchadnezzar, was removed from his place of authority, was made like a beast, and actually roamed in the fields for 7 years while his hair grew, his claws grew, and he ate grass just like a cow would eat. Wouldn't you just love it if we could see that happen to Nancy Pelosi or some of the other people that are in office today that are wicked, that are exalting the shedding of innocent blood through abortion, that are promoting and that are defending a woman's right to pay an abortionist to rip her baby limb from limb and crush her baby's skull. Wouldn't you just love it if God would humble them? And we should actually pray that God will humble them and that God will cause them to repent and to come to their senses. We're going to read another historical quote from John Adams, from the papers of John Adams. We electors have an important constitutional power placed in our hands. We have a check upon two branches of the legislature. The power, I mean, of electing at stated periods each branch. It becomes necessary to every citizen then to have in some degree a statesman and to examine and judge for himself the tendency of political principles and measures. Let us examine, then, with a sober, a manly, and a Christian spirit. Let us neglect all party loyalty and advert to facts. Let us believe no man to be infallible or impeccable in government any more than in religion. Take no man's word against evidence, nor implicitly adopt the sentiment of others who may be deceived themselves or may be interested and deceiving us. And you need to realize there are a lot of those in office that are working to deceive. The Bible, and we referenced this last week, the Bible warns us against becoming fat and well-fed. Just like Nebuchadnezzar, when he had all his power and his glory, and he had the idea that he had done all of that, even so, nations, when nations are blessed, you don't seem to, when things are going well, whether it's in your life or in your nation, you don't really turn to God. You don't really consider crying out to Him. But boy, when things are tough, that's when you cry out to God. But when you cry out to God and God answers and God blesses and God brings His blessing upon a nation because that nation has blessed Him, the tendency is for us to forget God, to forget that the goodness came from God, and to become fat and well fed. And we won't read this passage today, but in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it talks about this, this warning about becoming fat and well fed. And we need to remember that it is God who gives us the power to get wealth. Why? So that His covenant can be established. And the pattern, we talked about this last week as well. The pattern that we see in the book of Judges so many times is that the children of Israel would obey God. And out of that obedience, God would bless them. And they would even have periods of prosperity and periods of rest. They would not have enemies coming against them. And these periods of rest would happen for 40 years sometimes, or 80 years sometimes. And during this time, the people would become complacent. They would forget that the goodness was from God, and it was because of their obedience that God was blessing them. They would become complacent, and then they would actually forget God, and they would start disobeying Him, and they would start committing iniquity. And then they would go into bondage. And out of bondage, at some point, they would realize the error of their way. And they would turn, and they would repent of their sins. And God would move in their hearts, and God would hear their prayers, and God would answer them, and God would actually raise up a deliverer to deliver them from the evil and deliver them from the oppressors. And you can read in the book of Judges about some of those deliverers that God raised up. And particularly, I want to draw your attention to Judges chapter 2, verses 10 through 23, and also Judges 3, verses 1 through 15. And those passages are awesome passages to actually remind us, and you should remind yourself that we need to turn back to God, and we need to realize that our blessings come from God, our blessings come from Him, and we need to actually cry out to Him and ask Him to move on our behalf. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, "When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people." Now, I'm going to stop right there and just note here that this is God speaking. So God is saying, when He shuts up heaven and there is no rain, so when a nation violates God's commandments, that nation will then experience God's judgment. And that judgment may be the withholding of rain, which would do what? The withholding of rain would cause a drought, which would mean that the food would be scarce, which would mean there may actually be a famine in the land. or command the locust to devour the land. So not only would it be dry sometimes and there be a drought, but even what was growing would be destroyed by locust, or send pestilence among his people. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. We as a nation need to realize that the calamities that we face in this nation are not because of global warming, or they don't even call it global warming anymore. You know, it used to be that the earth was going to freeze, and then they started talking about global warming, and then sometimes it actually started cooling down, and so they start calling it climate change. What we see happening in our nation is not because of climate change. It is because the wrath of God is being poured out upon us as a nation, because we have shed the blood of 66 million preborn children, because we are practicing perversion. We are allowing perversion and even promoting perversion. Nations, corporations, and even government policy is promoting perversion, and we tolerate perversion in our entertainment. We need to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, so that he might hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. We need to turn back to God. We need to ask God to forgive us. We need to cry out to him. We need to not just cry crocodile tears, but we actually need to have a repentance of heart and pray that God would convict us, his church, and this nation of our sins, and grant us a spirit of repentance, so that we might turn from our wicked ways, might forgive, and that God, and repent of our sins, so that God might hear from heaven, heal our sins, and heal our land.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
School is back in session and Labor Day is right around the corner. The Bible says the hands of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Also, God gives us the power to get well to establish his covenant. This Labor Day, reflect on the blessings we have in this country to be able to work hard and receive a reward for doing so. And if you're still in the workforce, thank God for the ability and opportunity to work.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We love you, Jesus. Oh, how we want to be near.
Hello, and welcome to the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church, located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Thank you for joining us today as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. Our prayer for you today as you listen is that this message would bring deeper knowledge of the truth of God and a deeper walk with Jesus. While listening today, if you have questions or you'd like us to pray with you, please text us at 772-205-6552, and we will reply with a text or phone call. Today, we conclude a series of messages titled, Living in the Goodness of God. Throughout the series, we have camped on a few truths. The first is that God is good. He does not have goodness. He does not go get goodness from some other source. He